This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Live off the record with Chicago Line is sponsored by the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Inventive Intellect, the Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, RF Star Assurance, Scotiabank, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I got the echo going now. Producer, like yes, me know it. So, we get ready, please. Is that, you got a terrible? Can we get producer there? Let's take a break. We'll do the fix echo.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk it through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. We still have an app. And this is not, I'm not too sure. This is really odd. So let's back up and see what happens. Let's do that. Okay, I think we're good now. On the way. I didn't do anything. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this for Thursday afternoon. I trust you are doing well. To call the show today, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. Okay, so I need you folk to do me a huge favor today by answering a question. And I'm going to wait until I get at least 10 answers, right? I want more than that, but at least 10 answers before I connect this question and these answers to what I want to make. So I need your help. So I need you to, you can call or you can text with your answers. Let me give you the numbers again in case you want to write them down. The numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Or you can text us on 4296, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I know some of you, you see me on the road or something, and you say, oh, really? No, I don't really call in, but I listen. I know, but if you could text or send us a message, give me an answer. I'd like to hear today. Here's a question. What do you regard as the biggest problems in the Bahamas today? Simple question. What are the biggest issues facing Bahamians today? Put another way, what are the biggest problems Bahamians face today? Okay, now, I'm not talking about personal problems. Like, when I say personal problems, I'm not really looking for an answer like Bahamians are crazy or too many Bahamians ignorant. I'm not looking for them kind of things. I'm looking for things that relate to us as a society and things we would look to the government to address. That's what I'm looking for. Problems that relate to our society as a whole and like things we look to government to solve. I'm not saying they can, but I'm saying we look to them to solve. So what do you regard as the biggest problems we have? So that's the question. You could text me, you could call me, any one of those things, and start to give me some answers. I'm going to wait for you. It's connected to a point that I want to draw attention to. If we can do that, all right? Biggest problems, come on. I know y'all always got a set of issues you complain about. What are the biggest problems? Giving you any suggestion, because then I don't want to prime your answers. Anyone? We don't have no problems. We straight. We good. No big problems. Carmichael Road, big problem. Village Road, big problem. Flooding in South Beach, big problem. Potholes, out West Bay Street, big problems. What was our biggest problems in the country? I'm waiting. Crime? I'm priming now. What is it? What's the biggest problems in the Bahamas? What's the problems? On government, no problem to fix. The Speaker of the House run hot on the commander of NEMA, Mr. Russell, because they had a problem out there in her constituency, I believe it was. And, you know, she said there was no response from NEMA about it. She was complaining about not a problem, not a big problem. All right, I got some people coming. All right, All right, now. So we have flooding and lack of maintenance of drains. This is the biggest problem in the Bahamas now. This is your number one problems. No, that is what you're telling me. Oh my goodness, we got callers on the line. Okay, let me take this one. Said Selang, I think that the biggest problem facing Bahamas today are economy, says this person, and the climate change and the crime, says that person. All right, we got callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I'm listening to you.
Oh, I'm calling concerning your answer.
Yes, ma'am.
Violence, gang violence.
Okay, so
and
you
everyone's being casual about it. You know, like, okay. Oh, another one died yesterday.
Okay,
it's no
so
longer a concern.
So you say crime.
Yes.
Okay. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good morning. I would say economics.
Okay, the economy. So you join another person. So the economy, you say. Just the economy.
No, I was following up with immigration also.
Okay, immigration as well. Okay, immigration. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you calling. All right, we got another call on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
I'm great. And yourself?
All right. You know, the thing about it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a civil servant overstaffing problem and
okay.
There are too many people who are unqualified in the civil servant department and fishes thing from the head place, my grandmother always tell me. And
okay.
So these people it's not qualifying. So it's a systemic problem and it trickles right down to the lower end. I think we need to stop putting people in every election who are affiliated with these party and put these people in who's qualified.
Okay, but you know at the top level, these are permanent people been in the service for years and years and years, right?
That's my problem. At the top, the permanent secretary is permanent and he shouldn't be permanent as his ministry is not functioning properly. He shouldn't be there for 30 years to the dysfunctional ministry.
But you know they move from ministry to ministry, right? No one is ever in one ministry
That is the problem. This is the problem I'm talking about.
Okay,
This is the problem I'm talking about. And that's why it's a problem.
Okay.
You got people who are permanent who wouldn't get fired based on their performance. And then there are people who are very much underqualified, affiliated with these political parties. And all of this is a systemic problem. And it goes straight down from the commissioner of police go down every two or three years they get given that. We got all kind of commissioner of police that we got to get pension to because he's favored with this party. And that's what causing the crime. And then you go on and on and on, sir.
All right. I thank you. I appreciate you calling. You're getting rid of a commissioner and the reason the commissioner has a pension. The commissioner has a pension because it goes along with his job. Just like every civil servant who's on the permanent and pensionable establishment is entitled to a pension. So you can't blame the having to pay the pension to the commissioner because he retired. The commissioner would have been due the pension, whether you fire him or don't fire him, or you change him or don't change him. So that's an entitlement you earn over time. Don't let's do that to the commissioner or anybody else. You earn that pension as a function of your term of work, all right? All right, we have some text here. This text says, great show as usual, our attitude and social behavior. All right, now, let me fix that. I mean, I'll write it down, but okay, attitude and social behavior. All right. This text says, honestly, forgiveness, lowering our standards, if helping each other, living together in peace and harmony, straying away from godly principles. Okay, I respect that. I understand that, but that's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about things the government can fix. The government can't really fix our ungodly hearts and that kind of stuff, right? I mean, so I understand the point, but I'm looking for stuff that is about the collective country and things we look to government to fix. I gave those criteria. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang, the biggest problem to me is crime. So we got another crime and the proliferation of guns, which is crime, really, okay? Crime and in particular, you say the proliferation of guns. This text says, good day, biggest problems, illegal pollution. So I can call that climate, environment. So that's climate, environment. Crime gets another vote. Cost of living gets a vote. Okay. Sea level rise, that's climate, okay? Infrastructure, so okay, infrastructure gets a vote. All right, lawlessness, that's crime. So we already got that. And lack of controls, I don't know what that means. Gun control, that's crime, okay? Lack of controls, persons driving without insurance, all that is crime. Persons running red, that's crime. Price gouging, well, that's cost of living, right? Red tape, that's public service, okay? So the public service gets another vote. Continually successive governments, that's democracy. I don't know how that could be a problem. So we need to stop review council. We keep going around in circles and get nowhere, okay? All right, we have another text here. Says, good day, Mr. Lang. Immigration, so immigration gets, crime gets another vote. The roads, so infrastructure gets another vote. Say green potholes are covered with water and drivers and not no drop into them and receive major damage to their vehicles. Okay. This text says littering. Well, that's environment. All right. So that's environment / climate. Okay. We have some more text here. Thank you so very much for your responding because, you know, I want to hear from you. Says, our biggest problem is the national debt. Okay, so someone here says the national debt. That gets a vote. And the government pension obligation. The government pension obligation. Well, that goes to the national debt, really, because that's a funding issue. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. The biggest problems that the Bahamas have are crime. Crime gets another vote. Flooding. That's infrastructure, gets another vote. Potholes, aggressive driving. I mean, if it's a nuisance. Climate change gets another vote. And illegal immigration gets another vote. All right. So far, if I'm counting correctly, crime is leading the way as the biggest number one issue people are having. And tied for second place, tied. All of these are tied for second place right now. Climate change, illegal immigration, overstaffing government, public service, infrastructure. Those are leading, they are second. And then economy and the national debt are next. All right, so what's the biggest problems in the country? That's what we're trying to get. That's what we're trying to get. We need some other people to answer now. Some of y'all, I know you got a lot of answers, but I'm trying to hear from some different people to see if we can get a nice kind of consent. Well, I wouldn't call it, but get a broad range of views on what's the biggest problems in the country. That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm trying to figure out. According to you now, this isn't according to politicians, this isn't according to Shivago Lang, this is according to you, the people of the Bahamas who are not elected, who are not in any official position, this according to you. This is what I'm asking. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Shivago.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Thank God, life is usual, Poppy, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Yes, ma'am, good afternoon.
Shivago, when I listen to the answers from some of the people, I confused with the question, but sound like I hear what the question was just now. What are some of the biggest problems that the government could help us out with?
Right. I didn't think the answer. No. I'm asking, what do you think are the biggest problems we face in the country?
Yes.
And I was saying that I don't mean personal problems like people are stupid or that kind of things. I'm saying problems like collective problems we are looking to the government to fix.
Okay, I got a little answer. I hope I don't muddy the water, but Chivago, if you don't mind, 2 days back to back, because I listen sometimes, and some days I listen more than I listen, right? And I listen to you 2 days. I think it's the two last shows, Chivago. I didn't even want to call. You keep giving out the numbers. You always show respect when the show starts. Give out the numbers. When you take a break, you give out the numbers. Encourage us to call. You disagree or if you agree. Is there something I'm saying to correct me so I can make you to understand what I'm trying to say? So I appreciate you and I respect you for that. But yesterday, I say, mm-hmm. man, I don't even want to call in. We don't even want to call you to interrupt you what you were saying. All I want to say is amen. You didn't need no one to call to say amen. When you talk about personal responsibility, you're saying maybe we might. Some people might think you're getting too spiritual, but you'd like to know how much God play a role in. You talk about luck and blessing Chicago. You talk about luck and blessing Chicago. All I say, in other words, I appreciate you. You have a lot of talent. The more I listen to you, the more we get older, I learn to respect you more.
I appreciate you saying so.
Yes?
I just appreciate you saying so. Thanks, man.
Yes, so much I'd like to say, but let me say this on this topic, what you asked in Chicago. I think, now, let's agree to disagree on this, because you're a former politician, and you mightn't agree with me.
Okay.
I wish it was in the Bahamas that it was more than just vote-note politicians.
I want them to be more responsible
when they make decisions. These are smart people. These, you know, dumb people we put in there. Some of them might not be so smart. Some of them are almost like scientists, professors and different things, doctors and lawyers, all right? And I think they should be whole and more responsible. Although they're just a minister and it's the government of Bahamas they represent, when they make these dumb decisions and they either sue or get sued, I think it's sometimes we need to make them responsible. You might say, well, Papa, don't work that way. The law don't design that way. It's just something what I wish and many other people might, I can believe maybe another person might believe the same way. It should be more than just punishment. Now, another thing, too, we need them on all these things to make the place better so we could respect one another. To remember that no one is above the law. Right now, we have a present case with the Minister of Transport, where it was reported that she told a police officer, it was reported that the police staff association chairman in the papers was saying that the police officer had to go get medical attention and stuff like that. Normally in cases when the public, ask the public you asking this question to, when we deal or we come across the wrong, we don't respect the uniform, even if we don't respect man or don't respect woman, we be held accountable. These are some of the things what you're asking, what we need them to understand, that they are not above the law. Not because your name might be Davis or you might be related or married to some kind of relation to the prime minister. You don't get away with that. The prime minister has a duty to open the smoke and say something about it. No one is above the law. That's what we need them to understand. And maybe this place might be better. So much other things. And keep up the good work.
Thank you, man. So I would say that that's like political leadership is a problem, I think, from Papa's assessment. I hope that captures what he's saying. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Do we still have a caller? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, still asking the question, what do you think are the biggest problems we have in the country? We're going to tie this to a point I want to make, but last first, we'll be back after this break.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA.
The RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we have been asking the question and answering the question, what do you regard as the biggest problems facing Bahamians today? The ones that, the kind of problems that we look to the government to solve. So far, leading the way without question is crime. And then we still have a tie between a whole host of issues, including the environment, climate, immigration, infrastructure, the public service, right? We have a text here says access, ease of access to capital, well, lack of programs for youth, especially graduates. Okay, so young, lack of opportunities for young people. And this one says ease of access to capital for entrepreneurs. SBDC is too full of red tape. Don't mind the noise in the market. That's it, i.e. SBDC access accelerator. Okay, so that's access to capital. We could look to the government to solve that one, but that's a tall order. Okay, so what else is there? What other issues are there? Are there no more? Are these the biggest ones? Is crime the biggest one of all? Infrastructure, the next biggest ones? What else is there that's troubling you in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? What happened? You all want me to say the number again? 323? The numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. What are those issues? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Chicago. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I think why all of those I could agree to all what the callers have said so far, right? Mm-hmm. But I think we have a real social problem in this country, right? Mm-hmm. I believe, and I mean that have a lot of it's connected to a lot of things, right? But I believe our social problem in this to look at, man, you know, because we just ain't loving each other the way we're supposed to be no more in this country. And I believe socially we ain't connecting as a people no more, man. So if we could get that down, if we could connect as a people socially, there's so much other problems naturally we could solve, man. So
you know that's a powerful point you're making. I'm coining it social cohesion. Yes, you use the word right, the connection, but yes. I'm calling it social cohesion. You're saying we don't seem to have that as we ought, and that is something. You look to your leadership to try to help to nurture, foster, facilitate, eh?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. All right, so we have some more here. This text says lack of vision and excuses that come with not moving the nation forward. So let's call that leadership again. So we take leadership gets another vote. Financial shocks from natural disasters, obtaining adequate housing, sustaining it. Okay, so housing, that's a new one. Okay, so housing and taking education seriously for future development. So, okay, so let's call that lack of opportunities for young people, even though, you know, I know education. Right. Then we have, this one says crime. So crime gets another vote. High cost of land, so that's a cost of living issue. Home ownership, that's a cost of living issue. Flooding, that's an infrastructure issue. And cleanliness. Reliable electricity, okay, so that's.
I'm not afraid to
Did we have a problem, producer? Did I miss something? We have government agencies. You having to bribe them, so that's the public service gets a vote. Crime gets another vote. Education, but this texter gets another vote. Education gets another vote. Okay, and community projects. All right, community projects. All right, let's call that social. Let's put that in the social cohesion category. This next text, crime gets another vote. Poor service, that's public service, gets another vote. Immigration gets another vote. It says, this text says, lack of effective communication is a big problem for me. Well, by who? Who is not effectively communicating? So I don't know where to put that. This text says, so does the commissioner of police get his pension while he is an ambassador on post? Isn't that double dipping? No, it's not, because he earned his pension. He earned that pension, right? Now, I mean, let me know. I don't know how it works. Let me stop. I don't know how it works. I don't know. I don't know if he gets, just let me, I got to find that out for you first. But he's earned a pension. I don't know how that works. So we'll have to check. This text says, Chicago, our biggest problem is Bahamian is paying taxes. The only way the country will grow if people pay their fair share of taxes. Look at national insurance. People never pay national insurance, but the government have to pay those. People pay taxes. Okay, it doesn't quite work that way, but I hear you. I hear you. This Texas biggest problem is a 500 plus junior officers in the Royal Bahamas Police Force can't get a gratuity after 25 to 35 years. But senior officers can get an extension. What puts more strain on the public purse? Okay, that's public service. That's a public service issue. So we got public services issue. Lack of enforcement of laws, so that's crime. Crime gets another point. Proactive measures by government officials to address recurring issues such as flooding, illegal immigration, and issues. Okay, that's public service. It says education and training. Okay, so education gets another issue. Low growth of the economy, so the economy gets another issue, and crime gets another vote. Okay. This says educate. This says I'm selling a major concern in our country is our healthcare system, including our use of generic drugs. Okay, so healthcare system. That's the first time anybody mentioned it. Okay. This text is problems, the lack of trust in our government. So that's a leadership issue. As the leadership gets a vote in government and giving the people honest answers on monitoring, follow up with giving us quarterly financial and capital development reports. Immigration, so immigration gets another vote. Immigration government has ever given solutions to this problem. No government has ever given solutions to this problem. Why about that? It says unemployment, which is the result of lacking economic vision and inability to bring diversification. Okay, so that's an economy. Gets a vote. Okay. All righty. Let's see here now. This question says updating of the laws on the books. All right. Well, that's leadership, because that's the ones who have to do it. It says financial education and money management, this should be taught in our schools. So that's an education issue. Education gets another vote. And okay, yeah, I didn't know the audio was lost for a little bit, but it was apparently, so sorry about that. Okay, all right, let me tell you where we stand right now. Tell you where we are. Right now, we've got crime running away, biggest thing on your minds, and then The public service is now the second thing, according to the people who've answered, that's on your minds. The economy has come back now to be the third thing that's really bothering you. I'm tied with education, lack of opportunities for young people. And then immigration is also along with leadership or politicians as the biggest problems. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Take a step, take a step.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until except my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide due in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call the show, you can call us on 322-325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We spent the first hour of this show asking and answering. I'm so grateful to you. I have more than 17 respondents. So in my head, I was saying a minimum of 20. I told you 10, but you guys gave me 17. So, hey, thank you very much, right? We've been asking and answering the question, what are the biggest problems facing us in the country? What are the things we are looking the government to solve, the biggest problems? And what they are. Well, so far, I'll give you all the answers you all gave me, and then I'll tell you what are the top ones. All the answers you gave me, some people said flooding and lack of maintenance of drains, really, which is infrastructure, as infrastructure, right? So, said economy. The economy, some people said climate change or the environment, some people gave crime. Oh, we got some callers on the line, so let me just quit that. Go ahead, Carlo, we're listening to you.
Hey, Shabago, how you doing?
Great, man, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Very interesting program today, and happy to hear the commentary, well, at least the opinions of a lot of the persons either text or call in. I think two of the main things with me would be healthcare, especially for the elderly. I believe that more can be done for those persons who are much older than we are, who have contributed sufficiently and effectively to the growth, the common growth of the Bahamas. And lastly, would also be the economy as it pertains to the middle class. We know that the middle class is virtually, and I have to put it this way, non-existent in the manner that I think the middle class should be. And that would be the persons between the ages of 50 and 65. Whereas we realize today that those who are 65 or approaching that age are living a lot longer. So they'll say to help the 65s who are now the new 45s. Think about it like that. There's no real program to sustain them in terms of trying to ensure that they have a suitable income to compensate against the increases of taxes, as well as their inability to find work to take care of the families and also those bills that they may still be incurring, even though they have attained the retirement age. So they are two of my main concerns.
Yeah. So your category seemed to me to fit into economy and social safety net.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Shivago, I've been speaking a lot about the retirement, those retirees and the persons approaching the retirement age, because you know, we are living longer, and, you know, if you really notice, a lot of the commentary within recent times has always been, seemed to be always been to find employment for the young and the youth among us. But I feel basically the persons within the middle class, 48s to 65s, we're being neglected and pushed out when we still have a meaningful contribution to nation building, as well as we have the knowledge, expertise, and the ability still to contribute, not just physically, but mentally, to help build our country. And that's very concerning. So we need all hands on board. That's what I'm getting at. Thanks for taking my call today.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you calling. And we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I'm calling in relation to crime.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears to me that there seems to be a bit of inconsistency in reporting of crime. And the reason I said that is because I'm quite certain that about 2 weeks ago, there were 21 migrants who were caught off Arawa Key. And I've not heard anything in the press or in the media concerning that.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate it. We have you. Okay, we lost them. All right, so let me tell you what we have so far. We have the economy, we have the environment / climate, we have crime, we have immigration, we have overstaffing or the public service, we have attitude and social behavior, we have cost of living, we have infrastructure, we have national debt, we have leadership / the politicians or political leadership, if you want to put it that way. We have education and lack of opportunities for young people. We have access to capital. We have social cohesion. We have housing. We have electricity, reliability, and we have social safety net / healthcare system. What's leading the way? By far, crime is leading the way. Next is the economy leading the way. And then, after crime is the public service leading the way. And then after the public service is the most pressing problem according to our respondents. And then tied for fourth place is infrastructure, the political leadership, education, a lack of opportunities for young people. And that's it. Those are the ones that are making the rounds right now. I'm trying to take you to the news break, because when I come back from the news break, we're going to tie this together with some observations that relate to your your answers to this. So you have a couple of more minutes, two more minutes or so, if you have another injection you want to make in here. This person says housing and global warming. That's all climate. That's all climate and housing. You know, we've given another tip to housing and climate. Okay. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, Chivago.
Hi, yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm holding, thank God. We need justice, law, and order in this country. It's too much moonlighting among the public service. Give some young people a chance to get a job to help themselves.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's the public service. Thank you. I appreciate you calling. All right. Okay. All right. So there you go. Crime still leading the way, followed by the public service, then by the economy. Go ahead, Carla, we're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Traffic for me.
Traffic. Okay,
yeah.
Traffic.
Yeah, they need to do something with this traffic.
All right, that's the first time.
They need to do something with persons who had their license for about, say, 20 years or more, some of them, I think they buy them license.
You think so, eh?
I think so. The way they drive, they don't obey the traffic rules. They don't seem to know how to maneuver the roundabouts. And, you know, who stops on a roundabout to allow cars to pass them?
People who don't know.
Exactly. So traffic training, I think, needs, you know, retraining needs to be done with a lot of persons. The Family Island needs some of that information also because they don't have roundabouts on the Family Island. So.
Well, I was just going to tell you, roundabouts are a recent implant, even in Nassau. Right, sir. So, can you recall a roundabout in the Bahamas beyond 20 years ago? I mean, in Nassau.
I think the one by COB.
When I was at UB in the 84, I think it was there. I think so.
I think that was the only one that was there that I could remember.
Right, oh, but wasn't many, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't many. So people still learning how to do this thing.
And they opening them up wider so it's more lean and, you know, to go around. It's like persons are afraid to go around on the side of you. Like they're scared you're going to hit them. And so traffic is my very, very big concern.
I got you. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, very warm Thursday afternoon. Did I tell you all that I have cucumbers growing in my yard now? Cucumbers, man. I mean, I've never seen that before, right? Cucumbers. You can call us today on 323-623-316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a text here, says, good afternoon, Z. Thank you also for continuing to share with us your passion, experiences, knowledge, and insights, both personally and nationally. As a soon-to-be 48-year-old, in country, 48-year-old country, it is, and we can be older than that soon, right? Like next year is going to be 50, right? So we can be 49. So it's, it is increasingly concerning to me that we still don't have a national blueprint for the development of our country that we collectively support, adopt, and work towards. Without this, all of the other issues will continue to distract. Wow. National Development Plan. First one, we hear National Development Plan. Thank you very much for that. This text says, our most critical and crucial problem that our government needs to address is food security. Food security. All right, so let me tell you all how many issues have been identified. 19 issues have been identified as the most pressing, which in terms of number of mentions lead the way. Crime, overwhelmingly crime. Next to crime, the public service, issues related to the public service, whether that's overstaffing or, you know, quality, whatever it is, the public service. And then there is the economy, whether that's unemployment or opportunities for ownership or whatever it is, the economy. And then following that is education or lack of opportunities for young people. And then you have a number of issues that are fought, like infrastructure, immigration, and those. Okay, so those are your leading stuff. Now, let me tell you why I wanted to get to hear from you. This is by no means a science study or survey, but, you know, hey, it's our survey. It's the one we've got right now. We got a text here, says the national debt, says someone. Yeah, we got the national debt, so that's another vote for the national debt. Then we have government pension obligations. So we'll put that on the national debt because that goes to the fiscal deficit. This text says, Mr. Lang, what do you think is the problem with the speaker? Is Mr. Russell a civil servant? Is it appropriate for her to speak of him in that manner? Is she prepared to give him an opportunity to defend himself? She really needs training in protocol. That's an issue we could take up another time. You've got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. So we're listening to you.
Mr. Lang.
Sorry?
Can you hear me?
And I can hear you now. Yes, go ahead.
All right, good afternoon. I didn't call you the other day when you were talking about NIB. I want to make a comment.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
You know, me and you was talking, right? But I went in there because you end up over talking me. And I want to get my point across.
Okay.
Because you over talk me.
Yeah, you must have been saying something. You must have been saying something in an ill-advised.
No. I agree with you, you know. When you say we need the increase, yes, we need increase, but also we have people who are not paying. And then my other comments have been, I don't know if you remember, the Bank of Bahamas got $100 million from NIB. $100 million, and nobody said that was ever paid back.
Now,
you understand where you're coming from?
No, but I don't remember. NIB can only give
NIB
money.
Give the bank. NIB can keep that bank afloat.
No, listen to me. The only way NIB could give the Bank of Bahamas money is if NIB buys Bank of Bahamas shares. It invests in Bank of Bahamas. So it doesn't have to be paid back, that money, because NIB cannot lend the Bank of Bahamas money. It can only purchase shares of Bank of Bahamas. Now, NIB is government and the Bank of Bahamas is government. So that's really one entity owned, two entities owned by the same group of people doing stuff between themselves.
Now, you see, you made all that. You see, that's the point. They take the money from NIB, put it in another entity, what was failing, because people not paying back.
But my friend, you have to be seized of the facts though. First of all, Bank of Bahamas is a going concern. It is not failing. It is a going concern. You know why I know it's a going concern? Because when you get the financial auditors to audit a business, it is their responsibility on that audit to express an opinion on whether it's a going concern. Are people still doing business at the Bank of Bahamas? They are. So what NIB... No. You don't get to interrupt me when I'm trying to educate my public. When you say something that's ill-advised. Bank of Bahamas, therefore, if National Insurance purchased shares of Bank of Bahamas, they now hold those shares as assets. They didn't just give the money to them. They hold them as assets, just like any other investor holding an asset in a going concern. All right? Now you can continue if you're still there.
What I want to say, the problem would be one of our biggest problems is enforcing the law.
Okay, so crime, give a vote to crime. Okay.
Enforcing the law, you know, for instance, I could give you an example. Mm-hmm. There was a talk with the people who wrote there.
Right.
I think about 500 acres or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all kind of excuse inside of carrying out the law. Nobody going to court. Nothing happened. Now the people are building things there now. I know what's going to happen. When you look, you have another shanty town right down there. Because nobody, you know, doing, you know, the law and doing the job the right way. Everybody blaming all this ministry, that ministry. And as far as I know, they have cabinet meeting every Tuesday. So I don't see why they can't solve that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling, man. Thanks a lot. We got your vote. Appreciate it. Okay. So the reason why I asked you what you thought, again, this is not a scientific survey, but it is an indication of what you think are the most pressing issues, is because in public policy, in governance, you always want to believe, at the very least, or at best, know that the people who govern you are in tune with your concerns as a people, okay? That's important. In public policy matters, if you're governing, you don't want to know, you don't want to think, oh, crime is a huge issue, and the government thinking building toilet blocks on the parks is the number one issue. You want to think that if so does the government, because therefore, you will assume that the government is paying attention to the biggest problem you have. So it's one thing for the government to know what concerns you. That's the first thing. But then you want the government to address what concerns you. And then thirdly, you want the government to effectively address what concerns you. So the first question you as a citizen want to ask is my government aware of what concerns me? And I mean me as the collective big me, not me as the individual, because all of us have different priorities, but there does arise out of the population, if you survey it, a set of themes, as you've seen happen today. So if one person has said crime and nobody else said crime, then you couldn't say that's a theme. But the fact that so many people said it, you can start to say it's a theme. Same thing with public service, same thing with the economy. So you always want to know that the government is in step with the citizenry on what the issues are. Now, how can we know if at the very least the government is aware and in step with the concerns that we have? Now, I'm only using this survey as an indication. So I haven't surveyed a proper random sample of the population to know that what you have said, who called in and texted in, is actually what the population believes. But here is what I can tell you. If you want to know what the government sees as your concerns, the best place to go is to the head of the government. And who's the head of the government? If you say the Queen, I'll say, please stop your nonsense. The Queen of England is not the head of the Bahamas government. The Queen of England is the head of state, the head of the Bahamian state. The head of our government is Prime Minister, the Honorable Philip Braved Davis. He's the head of government. That's why he says, my government, right? He's the head of the government, right? Of course, you know, titularly speaking, symbolically speaking, the government is the Queen's government, but she's only, that's only because she's the head of state, right? But the head of the government is the Prime Minister, Philip Braved Davis. So during the budget communication, Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, Philip Braved Davis, told us what the priorities are for his government so that no one has to guess what the priorities are of the government. And if therefore those priorities, which we will come to know in a little while, are the government's priorities, now you just have to line them up with how your priorities fell today in answering my question. Prime Minister Davis said, and I quote, this budget is organized around three central priorities. Right? It don't get no clearer than that. It don't get no clearer than that. And he gave us the priority. He said the first one is cost of living. He said it's a cost of living crisis in the Bahamas. Now, guess what? Cost of living did not make your top three concerns in this. We got two votes for cost of living. Two votes. Many issues came ahead of cost of living for you, the people who answered today. So far, at least we can say, particular issue, while a priority for the government, was not the top three priorities for the people who responded today, even though it did make the priority list. So you could say that the government is in step, but it wasn't overwhelmingly in step with these answers given. What is the second priority that the Prime Minister identified that his government is paying attention to? He said that the second priority, and this is how he put it, he said, which brings me to our second priority. He said, the creation and expansion of jobs and ownership opportunities for Bahamians. So the economy on your list came third. On the Prime Minister's list, it's second. Okay, on the Prime Minister's list, it's second. So the Prime Minister, insofar as observing the economy as a priority, is in step with what you today have said is a major priority in the country. All right, so on the economy, there is agreement between the government and the respondents today. The Prime Minister said that the third priority of his government is this. Priority, and I want to get his exact wording. He said, and finally, the third priority addresses various security issues to make our communities and homes safer and our borders more secure. So the Prime Minister said that his third priority is crime and immigration. Crime and immigration. So he tied crime and immigration together, and you, crime is your number one thing. Immigration was very close to the top. So in as much as crime and immigration are a priority for the government, it is also your priority. Now, the only place that the government is out of step with your concern, because it hasn't been mentioned as a priority, but that doesn't mean the government ain't paying no attention to it, it just says it wasn't mentioned as a priority, is issues related to the public service. That's where you set a distance between yourself and the government, because public service issues surfaced a lot in the course of your answers today. So, as a general observation, it would seem from the budget communication that insofar as the concerns of the people who responded today goes, and if those concerns are representative of the concerns of the broad population of the country, then the government, by virtue of the Prime Minister's budget and Minister of Finance's budget communication, seems in sync with those concerns from what we have just gathered. Now, the question after that is, now that we can be reasonably satisfied that the government is in sync with at least these respondents, your responses today, what is the government doing about those areas about which it says is a priority and you are in agreement with it about those priorities? When we come back from the break, we will turn to that issue. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Ghulam, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
That's right, boys and girls. Get ready to play basketball at the 34th Annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th at the Kendall GL Isaacs Gym, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. daily. So parents, get your boys and girls ages 5 through 18 registered now. Applications available at the South Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams Darling Highway, and at the registration desk at Campsite Kendall GL Isaacs Gym. Special appearances by NBA players, legends, and coaches. Girls registered now, ages 5 through 18, for the 34th Annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th. The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Imagine driving your dream car, doing all the things you never thought you could, like perfecting your parallel parking skills or picking up your date. Everyone loves to dream. Stop dreaming. Start driving with a brand new offer from Scotiabank. With an auto loan from Scotiabank, benefit from no payments for up to 2 months, a low interest rate up to 9 years to repay, and free insurance for the first year up to 2.5% of the loan amount. Promotion ends June 30th, 2022. Stop dreaming and start driving today with an auto loan from Scotiabank.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.
Back Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So the government says its priorities are cost of living, addressing the cost of living crisis in the country, creation and expansion of jobs and ownership opportunities for Bahamians, and security issues. Our callers today and texters today have said that crime and immigrant crime is their number one issue, public service concerns are their number two issue, and the economy is their number three issue. So the government and the callers today and texters today are in agreement on at least two issues, crime and economy. So let's look at what the government is doing on the issue of crime and the economy. So the government says that on the issue of the economy, that it is, let's make sure we get them here. Yeah. So the government says in relation to this, that they are trying to address these issues by planned investments in the orange, green, and the blue economies, and the monetization of carbon credits and associated technologies to ensure the long-term development of the country. In addition to that, it's looking at education and training as fundamental in this national development project. And so that in the budget, they're strengthening education and addressing learning loss experienced during the pandemic and things to stimulate job creation. Now, that's like really broad set of stuff, right? It also says it's increasing public infrastructure investment and creating partnerships with institutions to provide expanded. So, the Prime Minister also pointed out in terms of the economy that I wish to highlight the fact that even though the budget represents an important part of the government's overall strategy to grow the economy, it does not represent the entire effort. Aside from allocation resources from the consolidated fund, the government intends to leverage other mechanisms to bolster economic activity and stimulate job creation. For example, our government is intent on fostering a partnership between the Bahamas Maritime Authority and LJM Marine Academy to offer more training opportunities for Bahamians in the maritime sector. At best in 5 years, that's 250 kids assisted. I'm meaningful, but I'm just saying, out of the thousands, that's like 250 maybe, at best. And I'm not even suggesting it be that, but at best. So while this arrangement will not fully be reflected in a single line item in the budget, this initiative is poised to provide real and significant, if not thousands of Bahamians. No. Hundreds, as in at best, a couple hundred, yes. Thousands, no way. You're not gonna train thousands of Bahamians over the next 5 years in this area. That's not gonna happen. Nor are you gonna provide job opportunities for thousands in that area. That's not gonna happen. I'm not saying it won't happen over a lifetime, but it ain't gonna happen over 5 years. That's not gonna happen. And the Prime Minister didn't say 5 years. I'm just saying it won't happen over 5 years, right? Training thousands of Bahamians in maritime area, listen, if you're gonna get quality training, you gotta be reasonable. Where you gonna park them in classes? Thousands of classes, it ain't gonna happen that way, no. Says, it's also important to note when looking at the budget that Any individual line item is often only one aspect of a larger interwoven set of policies, which is very true. So let me give an example from another one of our special focus, which is to support small businesses. Part of the core ideology of our party is to support small businesses development because we view this as an extremely effective means of empowering the majority of Bahamians in the country. And so they talked about development bank, the Bahamas Agriculture, blah, blah, blah. And so we have committed $50 million per annum to small business development through these various institutions. Okay, so when you look at the efforts that the government is seeking to make in funding, the government's efforts, if they are successful, will certainly help. There's no question about it. It will help. You know, if the government is going to invest in public infrastructure, if it's going to train young people, if it's going to give capital to business people, it'll help. There's no question about that. But it will be a small help in the big scheme of things. What will move this economy? In the very first instance, tourists traveling to the Bahamas, biggest, shortest term, big bang impact for the economy, without question. All right. Next, investment, domestic and foreign. Boom, not the government's, private investments, period. Bahamians and foreign. Boom, that gives you another big hit. That's it. That's those are the big boys. Other are not, listen now, because some of you go, oh, we always rely on tourism. I said investments. Investments don't have to be in just in tourism. Investments could be in agriculture, manufacturing, could be in anything. Whatever it is, that's what it's going to take. The initial driver of economic growth is out of when we turn the economy down in the pandemic, tourism. You want to see the economy grow quickly and significantly? Let the tourists flow. Let the tourists flow. And there's nothing is going to give you a bigger hit, a quicker hit than tourism. Then after that, foreign direct investment in a multitude of areas. I can get where it is in media, in telecommunications, in technology, in digital assets, you know, whatever. That's what it's going to take. Investment. And then it's what the government does by way of first facilitating the investors, foreign and Bahamian, and then by way of its own injection into the economy. Those are the big things that's going to happen. So if I want to listen to my government tell me what it's going to do in a big way to help the economy, I want to hear my government say, we are having an aggressive direct investment campaign in the Bahamas, period. In addition to the foreign investors who you have to go out and get, so if you're going to travel with $4 million worth of budget, go travel in a targeted, strategic way to encourage interest investors to come into the country. If you're going to do it domestically, you have to, besides the $50 million government investment, we need to encourage the creation of capital release by way of private equity investors, venture fund ventures, and the banks who have been traditional lenders to businesses in the country. That's where you're going to get big, big banks. If you're relying on a government line item of $50 million, it's going to help, but it's not going to be a big, big help. I'm Shivago Lyon. I'm here not to fool you. I'm not here to try and mislead you or misguide you. I want you to have a good understanding of your economy and how it works. A government doing things with its budget is not going to move the needle much. Let me say it again. The government doing things with its budget, especially given its fiscal constraints, is not going to move the needle much on the economy. In fact, the government could move the needle more by extracting its expenditure from the economy than by what it can do in spending in the economy at this point, because it's so limited in that regard because of its financial strains. What moves the needle is government encouragement of private sector resources toward investing in the country. I hear some of you, you want jobs for those people in their 50s and 60s. You want opportunities for young people. Listen to me, folk. Those opportunities will not come by any government effort in any significant way. Some effort, but not any significant way. How are those young people graduating going to be employed? How are those 60, 50 and 60 year olds, they have savings and retirement, gonna find job? Private sector individuals spotting opportunities in this country and saying, I am prepared to invest in this opportunity. And as I invest in that opportunity, I'm going to need people to work to help me service my customers. And therefore the employment gets created. The government can't come close, cannot come close to that in an economy, cannot come close. So those of you who are very government dependent, very government focused, very government do this and government do that for us, and you listen to the government and you think the government is saying, I'm gonna make this massive change, absolute nonsense, nonsense. Who moves that needle the most? The private sector, where 80% or more of the financial resources of our country, of the brain trust of our country, of the determination and persistence of entrepreneurship in our country resides. That's where it is. If you really, really want to know the economic future of the Bahamas, don't look to the government alone. Try and discern where private capital, foreign and Bahamian, is going to be channeled in this country. If there's going to be lots of foreign and Bahamian capital invested over the next 10 years, you're going to be great. If dog is going to eat your lunch no matter what your government does. I'm not the bearer of bad news. I'm just the deliverer of reality based on a set of understanding, training, and experience I have been fortunate by Almighty God and this country to get. And I want you to be aware and understand how that happens. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentless for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller. Until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7766676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
We're good for you.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Forget those boring socks this Father's Day. Show Dad you care with something more personal. Get a gift he'll cherish and remember forever from Inventive Intellect. Leather and nylon wallets, baseball caps, neckties, keychains, mugs, flasks, customized dog tags, t-shirts, and more. Plus, we've got some custom boxes starting from only $10. We've got everything you can imagine for a special, personalized Father's Day at Inventive Intellect. Sunlight Cottage off East Street North. Call us today at 676-5811 or 821-9457. Inventive Intellect.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand and together. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabbar Golang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we have been addressing the issue of the most pressing problems in the country, your responses, and then looked at what the Prime Minister in the budget communication indicated were the government's priority. And we agreed that at least from your responses, there was a sync between what you observe as priorities and what the government observes as priority. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. What about the social ills and poverty that lead to the vexing problem of crime? You know, let me say this to yourselves. The notion that poverty leads to crime is not a correlation that has been firmly established anywhere. We continue to say that, but that is not true, okay? To suggest that poverty leads to crime, if that is true, you would have to explain why on a per capita basis, crime is lower in our southern, least developed, impoverished islands than in New Providence, which is the highest per capita island in the country. If poverty is leading to crime, you have to explain why Grand Bahama, with its 20 plus years of economic challenges, has nowhere close to the crime problem New Providence has on a per capita basis. So when you go and say to me, oh, it's a population, no, I'm getting rid of population by calling it per capita. That's what we mean when we say per capita. So while I hear you, and while that seems to make sense that poverty and crime is tied, it's simply not true. The Bahamas had less crime when it was more poor. My mother and her mother and her mother lived in the Bahamas. It was not a materially prosperous place. It was not as wealthy a place as it is now. They were much poorer people. I spent almost an hour talking to my mother about what a regular, and it was nothing close to what we eat today. Nothing close. Meat was a rarity. Rarity. Now you're talking about lamb chop, pork chop, stewed beef, mutton, oxtail, chicken, and we're talking about dark and white meat, ribs. That was a luxury for them. So you cannot you cannot tie poverty to crime and say poor people commit crime. Now, let me give you some anecdotal things. I grew up in the 80s, in the mid 80s, okay? The drug dealers I know, the bad boys, end quote, I know, their parents were solidly middle income people for the most part. These were not kids who were living in abject poverty. No way. Not a possible chance. I knew their mommy and their daddy. I knew their people. Don't blame that on no poverty. All right, so anytime somebody's talked about it on one McCartney show too, Juan McCartney was speaking to it. There's no connection, materially speaking, on research that correlates crime and poverty. Otherwise, all these sub-Saharan African countries would have less crime per capita, more crime per capita than us. Look at us, we have the third highest per capita income in the Americas, and our per capita crime rate, murder rate is off the charts. Nah, not poverty. Something else, but it's not poverty. It's a number of things, but it ain't poverty. It's Texas High, Mr. Lang, you're right on. Only the public sector can really create and sustain the economy. You mean the private sector, not the public sector. I think various governments try to do that to gain popularity, and in the long run, those actions make things worse and cannot be sustained. But I guess I think you missed it. I think you meant the private sector. Okay. So and on the economy, the efforts that the government is seeking to make to move the needle along. That's the point I wanted to make. Now on crime, where we, the Texas today, and the government agree, again. Let's look at what the government says it's doing. Let's see what the government says it's doing. So, Prime Minister said, and the third priority addresses various security issues. So he says, we'll make significant investments in the three core national security agencies, namely the Department of Corrections. So you're gonna build a new jail, the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. Says as one of the top countries in the world most vulnerable to climate change, we have so the Prime Minister didn't go on to say much about that. He just said he could make significant investments in those eight crime fighting agencies. Is that enough? Is that what does it? What significant investment mean? Where will the investment be directed? That's what we talk about when we say versus what you're doing effectively. And so I guess we'll have to wait to hear from the National Security Minister to know some of that. But the Prime Minister certainly went into a lot of cost of living stuff. He went into a lot of economy stuff, but he didn't go into a great deal of the national security thing, even though that is your number one thing. It isn't his number one thing, it's his third thing, it's your number one thing. Says, I'm corrected, yes, the private sector, great show as always, thank you, I appreciate it very much. So that's where we are, government in sync. In terms of programmatic thrust toward those things, you are in sync with the government in terms of concern. If I had to vote on whether or not those things will have a big impact on those issues, I would have to vote no, not big impact. Some impact, yes, big impact, because I don't know what the government is doing yet. You'll have to listen to the Minister of National Security, see what he says is going to be done. Because crime fighting, security issues are complex. They are not a matter of simply giving police equipment, police tactics and strategies. Some of it is that for sure. We've seen that translate into that for sure. but some of it is very much rooted in the kind of people we are, our impulse controls, our willingness to check our own appetite for lashing out, for resolving conflicts in violent ways, for leaving people things alone. And the government, a government can't really control that. A lot of that is fostered through parental upbringing, through personal development, through community support, and things beyond the control of the government for the most part. So we'll have to see what the Minister of National Security says from the government's point of view and what the government could do. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Poverty has nothing to do with crime. It is the heart and minds of people. They also follow what they see happening in other places. Until the hearts of man change, nothing will happen. Nurse, I got you. I got you. I mean, you know, nurse, the thing about it is we say poverty and crime. Well, what is stealing by way of employment? And a lot of that happens. You got a job, you're making money, you're stealing. What is embezzlement? Rich people stealing by way of employment, right? So they're like, you stealing plenty of money, making plenty of money and stealing plenty of money. We say all these politicians corrupt. But if the politicians corrupt and they're all working, making money, then how they poor? Right? You go and ask the, you go and survey the people at the prison. I could almost guarantee you the majority of those come from middle income households. They don't come from our lower poverty households. So this it's too easy to fall on it's the poor people. In fact, I would tell you, we sometimes do a disservice to people who are not making lots of money to think of them as the natural gravitators to crime. That's a disservice to many of them, because many are low-income, no-income people are out there hustling, trying to make a living, trying to get it done. But yet we think that they're the ones resorting to crime. No, bro. No, sis. A lot of folk you see out there deciding that they're going to commit crime. Let me tell you what they are, what these kids are doing, what some of these kids, young men, young women are doing. They're making judgments. They're making judgments between my mommy and my daddy working. My mommy and daddy just helped me. But my mommy and my daddy could only buy me these no-name tennis. But my boys and my girls, them wearing name brand tennis. And I can't afford them name brand tennis, but my boy just tell me if I wake awake with this little ting-ting, and it is a crime, but we could do it in the middle of the night, I could knock off on cool $1,000, $3,000 and buying China line. I'm in business now. I can buy Air Jordans and them kind of things. That's the decision they're making. These aren't people who can't eat. That's what poverty is. You can't feed yourself. You can't clothe yourself. You can't shelter yourself. These aren't people who are living in that circumstance. Poverty is not, I want better food. I want better clothes. I want better shelter. That's not poverty, that's ambition, and if it's too strong, it's greed. Right, so that's some of the decisions we have being made. So anyways, today, I think we have established that our government is at least sensitive to some of the issues that we regard as priorities, at least in terms of the respondents today, that they are making an effort trying to address some of that, and that the effort may translate into some help and support, but there's much more that may be required in order to make bigger gains. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. Y'all have a great afternoon. I'm not afraid.